It's good to see folks who are coming back, who haven't been able to come, and kind of feeling a little better about things right now and more positive about the world in general. And we're glad you're here. Let's pray together as we begin our time. Lord, it is so good to come out on this sunny day and to see our brothers and sisters in Christ right here, our friends that are here with us as a family, as a community, to join together and worship you. Through the singing, through the message, through the smiles and the love that we feel all around this place, Lord, we love you and we thank you for being here with us. Speak to us now, Lord, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's good to have you with us today. I think one of the greatest joys in life is the thrill of being used by God for a purpose greater than yourself. The fact is, we were made for far more than just living for ourselves. So today I want to share with you a message that gets the idea across that indeed God can use anybody. God can use anybody, including you. In Romans 6:13, the Bible says, "Give yourselves completely to God, every part of you, because you've been brought from death to life, and now you want to be used by God for good and for His righteous purposes." Many people, many believers I've talked to through the years I've been a Christian and the years I've been in ministry think that God could never use them, that God could use other people, but not me. Sometimes they feel disqualified because of their past sin, or they feel unqualified, like they just aren't equipped to do anything for God. If that's what you think, I lovingly say, you are dead wrong. We only have to look at the life of the Apostle Paul to blow up both of those myths. Nobody has been used more by God in all of history than Paul. He almost single-handedly spread Christianity over the entire Roman Empire. He planted churches everywhere he went. He wrote almost half of the New Testament. It would be very difficult to argue that anyone has been used more by God than Paul, and yet Paul had a past. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul gives us some truths about being used by God, because God really can use anybody. So if you have your outlines, they were inside your bulletin. I hope you received that on the way in. Let's say, first of all, number one, never forget that when God uses us, it's all because of God's mercy. It's all because of God's mercy. It's not because of who we are or who we aren't. It's not because of what we can do or what we have done. If God uses us, and He does, it's all because of His mercy. In the first verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Bible says, God, in His mercy, has given us this ministry and work to do. That's why we do not become discouraged and never give up. When we talk about doing something for God, the Bible talks about it as ministry, and there's a misnomer. When believers, when Christians hear the word ministry, they think of preachers, pastors, who were called into ministry. And so there's been this differentiation between pastors, clergy, and believers, laity, and that is wrong. All of us are believers, and every believer gets gifted, and God works through every person. I'm called to do ministry. That's my job. But beyond my job, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, and I have other things that God wants me to do as Kevin. Does that make sense? Every person, the Bible says, has a job to do, and that makes them a minister. We all have work to carry out, none more or less important than the other. You were created to make a contribution with your life. You weren't just made to sit here and take up space, to live for yourself. God created you for something far bigger than yourself. But so many Christians do nothing. You may think, well, Kevin, you don't know me. You don't know my past. You don't know the things I struggle with right now. You don't know my bad habits. You don't know all of my hang-ups. Do you know what Paul was before he became a preacher, before he became a pastor, before he became a church planter, before he started doing the work God called him to do? He was an anti-Christian terrorist. Read the Bible. He went from village to village killing Christians. The exact opposite of what you'd expect being someone that God could use. That's what Paul was. And look at Galatians chapter 1, verses 13 and then verse 15. Paul says, "You know what I was like. How I violently persecuted Christians. I did my best to get rid of them. But then something happened. For it pleased God in his kindness to choose me and call me even before I was born." What undeserved mercy. Listen, folks, Paul teaches us here that your past does not preclude your future. Your past is your past. You messed up. Welcome to the rest of us. It doesn't matter what you've done. God says, I can use you today because of my mercy. Not because of you, but because of my mercy. Paul said even before God brought him into the world, God knew what he was going to use Paul for. Not because of Paul's gifts and talents and how great he is, but because of God's mercy. And the same is true with us. God has a calling on our lives to serve him in multiple different ways. We were created to make a contribution with our lives to God's kingdom. Before we were born, God knew everything we were going to do. Yet in his mercy, nothing disqualifies us. God says, I'm going to use you in spite of the fact that you've sinned, that you've disobeyed, that you're broken. Because I don't know if you've noticed or not. There's no perfect people in the world. Shh. Some of them here think they are. Shh. Everybody has a ministry to carry out. God created you for something far bigger than you can even imagine. It might be small in the world's eyes or in your thinking, but when you do something for God's kingdom and it reaches and touches and blesses somebody else, God's Holy Spirit uses that and multiplies it beyond anything you could have ever imagined. Look what Paul said. Well, go down here. Well, again, what Paul said in Galatians 1, the same thing is true for us. God gives us a calling in our lives. And again, we balk. Sometimes we say, God, I'm not perfect. I'm not like the people in the Bible. Have you studied the people in the Bible? Have you really looked at the people God used in the Bible? Talk about mess ups. Talk about sinners, royal sinners. The next time you think you're not set up to serve God, remember these folks. Remember Noah? God used Noah to save the world. Noah was a drunk. Abraham and Sarah were too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Joseph was abused. Moses stuttered and had a hot temper. Gideon was afraid. Samson was a womanizer. Rahab was in the lineage of Jesus, and she was a prostitute. Jonah was fearful, reluctant, disobedient, and he ran from God. Jeremiah suffered with depression. Timothy was too young. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Naomi was a widow. Job was bankrupt. John the Baptist ate bugs. Some people eat bugs today. We don't want to come to your house for lunch. Peter denied Christ. He had anger management problems. The disciples fell asleep when Jesus needed them. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul killed Christians. Timothy had an ulcer. And if you think you have problems that prevent you from serving God, consider Lazarus. He was dead. Yet each one of them was used by God. Because of who they were? No. Because of God's what? Mercy. Because of His mercy. And because of God's mercy, God can use you also. No excuses. Fill this in. Every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future. Don't ever become a prisoner of your past. Your past is a life lesson, not a life sentence. And that guy you think is a good guy, a godly man, that woman you think is a saint, remember, every saint has a past. Every one of us have messed up. We're all flawed. We fumbled the ball. Every saint has a past, and every sinner, thank God, has a future. Because of God's mercy. Doesn't matter how bad you've messed up. God says, I want to use you for good, and I want you to feel that I'm using and working through you in your life for my kingdom's sake. You get point one? You need some more of point one? The clock says no. Number two, you want God to use you? You need to learn to be real. You need to learn just to be yourself. You've got to be authentic. You've got to be genuine. You've got to be you. God did not create you to be somebody else. When you get to heaven one day, God is going to say, why weren't you more like Moses? Why weren't you more like your sister, your mom, your brother, your dad? He made you to be you. I love this verse, 2 Corinthians 4, 2. Look what Paul said. We don't try to trick anyone, and we don't twist the word of God. Instead, we teach the truth plainly, showing everyone who we really are. Then they can know in their hearts what kind of people we are in God's sight. Paul's saying you've got to be real. Paul says he's got nothing to hide. He's completely transparent. What you see is what you get. You do not have to be anywhere near close to perfect for God to use you and work through you in a great way. All you have to do is be real and authentic. Here I am. It's me. It's not perfect. I'm not perfect. I still struggle with real, genuine stuff that I think I should have been over by now. God uses people who are genuine. Sometimes people put pastors, other ministers, vocational pastors, vocational ministers on a pedestal. I've never understood that because I've been a pastor for so long and I know I'm not perfect. And that's not just a humble statement, that's just true. Sometimes people put pastors and other ministers up on a pedestal. But I want you to know your four pastors here are not perfect. Do not put us up on a pedestal. You will be sorely disappointed. We sit in the same row and pew as you do. We are one of you. This is what God's called us to do, so we do it. That does not mean we have all of our lives together, that all of our thoughts are in line. It's just not true. We are deeply flawed people. If you don't believe us, ask our families and our closest friends. They'll tell you, oh yeah, they're flawed. Got an hour? I'm not where I should be in my walk with God. I still struggle with things. I still struggle with issues with God. I mean, I do. Now, if you don't, that's okay, but I personally do. I've shared before, I have clinical depression, and sometimes I still cycle through my depression, and I hate it. I hate what it does to me, especially sometimes when that depression comes on me, I can get mean and ill-tempered. I don't like it, but it's who I am. I'm not perfected yet. Get out from behind your walls. Start letting your guard down. You ever been in a small group of people where you really felt comfortable enough just to be you? And some people started opening up, and then somebody else opened up, and you're sitting there going, wow, I understand that. And then a week or two or 3 weeks into it, you go, I'm going to, and you open up, and you share, and you go, wow, just this burden just melts off of you to know everybody else is struggling too. Just be real. When you understand that you're a child of God, you realize that anything you do, everything of who you are that's good, is all by God's mercy. It's by God's mercy. It's not me. When you try to hold yourself up, that takes a lot of energy. That would zap your energy, your physical, mental, spiritual, social, relational energy. It just drains your energy because you can't hold yourself up for long. Just be you. Remember a sermon I did, one of the first ones I did here? Let your what? Let your hands hang down. When your hands are hanging down, you're not holding on to anything, and you're look at this. This is a stance. This is an open stance. This is I'm not ready to defend myself stance. Let your hands hang down. Be you. Let me ask you a question. With whom are you real? Some of you need to start with you. Some of us have even kidded ourselves into believing we're something we're not, or we can do something we can't do, or we should fit in here when we don't fit in there at all. Be real with yourself and then find at least one person who you've come to trust, and just begin to open up with them. You will never understand the relief that God wants you to experience until you get real with yourself, you get real with God, and you get real with at least one other person. No need to try faking it through life, folks. We all know, all of us, struggle. And you can be real because of God's mercy. A third key to being used by God is to remember that life in the world, it's not all about me. It's not all about me. It's not all about you. When you forget this, you're going to either get bitter from problems or you're going to get prideful from your blessings. You need to remember that it really isn't all about you. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 4, 5. Our message is not about ourselves. It is about Jesus Christ as the Lord. We are merely your servants for Jesus' sake. Paul says, it's not about us. It's about Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about you. This is the exact opposite of everything we're taught, though, in our culture. Think about it. Everything else in our society says it is all about us. Every advertisement appeals to your self-centeredness. It appeals to your narcissism. We do it all for you. Have it your way. You deserve a break today. It's very hard to live an unselfish life in today's culture because our entire society and economy is built on the fact that we think it's all about us because that's what they tell us, and we buy into it. And the good news is it's not all about me. It's not all about you. We're not the center of the universe. So we need to quit viewing the world like it revolves around us. We need to stop seeing everything through our perspective or our own preferences. We need to realize that we are here to become more like Jesus and to serve others. Why? Because it's not all about us. And we need massive doses of God's mercy to change this part of ourselves. So admit, realize, this is not all about me. It's about Jesus. Another secret of being used by God is to use your pain to help others. Use your pain to help others. If you do this, God will bless you in ways you cannot even imagine. Use the things you're ashamed of, the things that have hurt you the most. Use those things, the problems you've had in your life, in order to help other people who are going through the same stuff. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians, again, chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. We often suffer, but we are never crushed. Even when we don't know what to do, we never give up. In times of trouble, God is with us, and when we get knocked down, we get up again. Chumbawamba. You don't know that song? Do I need to sing it for you? No, yeah. You want to see a weakness? Yeah. There's a reason I sing and Jason, reason I preach and Jason sings, right? We get knocked down, but we're not getting up. We get knocked down, but we're getting up again. You're going to go through pain. You may as well use it for good. Don't ever waste your pain. In 2 Corinthians 4:15, Paul said, all of these sufferings of ours are for your benefit. And the more of you who are one to Christ, the more there are to thank him for his great mercy. And the more God gets glory. God uses all forms of suffering for his good. He doesn't always create the suffering. He doesn't always want the suffering, doesn't always like the suffering. Satan is involved here. Selfish people are involved here. But God uses it all for his glory. Even the suffering we bring on ourselves, God will use for good. We just need to cooperate with him. The next time you're suffering or struggling comes your way, ask God to provide his mercy to you so he can use your struggles to help somebody else. And number five, if you want God to use you, you need to stay focused on eternity. You've got to maintain an eternal perspective. That way you don't get overwhelmed by your current problems. The bigger your picture of God is, the smaller your problems become. The more you understand what's going to happen in eternity, the less bothered you're going to be by the bad things here on earth. If you ever lose your eternal perspective, if you forget that, your problems are going to overwhelm you. Sometimes it's just nice to know, to sit back and take stock, do an inventory of the fact that here's all of my life, the good, the bad, the ugly. But eternity will start soon and it will never end. Matter of fact, look what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:17. These little troubles are getting ready for us, or getting us ready for an eternal glory that will make all of our troubles seem like nothing. Now, when you're in the midst of a trouble, it doesn't seem like nothing. It seems like everything. It can be overwhelming. It can be, oh my God, you might even just begin to shut down physically and mentally and emotionally. But in light of the eternal glory that we get to share with God, in light of that, it is minuscule. I'm not telling you to deny your problems or to minimize your problems. I'm telling you to deal with them, but don't forget the fact that you have a greater hope than your problem. Aren't you glad? I mean, living is pretty okay most of the time. Sometimes it's even okay. But to know there's something more. It's interesting in that verse, Paul says these little troubles. You want to hear Paul's little troubles? Remember, Paul got shipwrecked. Ever been out on a cruise? Ever been out on the harbor, in the river? He got shipwrecked. He was imprisoned wrongly. He got beaten 5 times. And he says, these are small problems compared to eternity. He had an eternal perspective. 2 Corinthians, same chapter 4, now verse 18. So we don't look at the troubles we can see right now. Rather, we look forward to what we have not yet seen. For the troubles we will see will soon be over. But the joys to come will last forever. This gives us some motivation. It gives us motivation to continue on. There's going to be a day, folks, when we get to spend the rest of all eternity with God. When after a... Remember those numbers I used last time I preached? Like sextillion and quadrillion, billion, all those? That's just the beginning of eternity. That's not even like the first tenth of a second of eternity. Never ends. Well, what's a key to help you not stay focused on your problems? Because they can help us lose focus on God. A key to staying focused is to get some support. Get some support. You need other people in your life to support you. You need to have a support system. You need to be part of a support system for someone else. Paul never went anywhere without a small group. He did nothing in his life without other people around him. Everywhere he went. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12, it says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. And three people are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. You need others to surround you to help you when the storms of life come your way. You need support. Folks, God really can use anybody. He can use you. Sometimes what happens is we get just a little too comfortable in our Christian life. I have a good life at home, listen to Christian music, have some Christian friends, do a Bible study, come to church. Good to see all this big crowd here today. Come to church, hear good music, pray for not bad preaching. This is good. I feel warm. I feel cozy in here. I don't want to leave. I like this brings me peace and joy. Do you understand that? I like this. Sometimes we get comfortable with this and we forget that God wants to use us. Sometimes we get too comfortable to serve. Now, I like being comfortable. There's nothing inherently wrong with that. I like being in church with brothers and sisters in Christ. I like worshiping. But sometimes we get too comfortable to serve. Or like Kat said, I can't do that. I'm not gifted. I can't do that. I call people at church to do that. God can use you. You know why you can serve God? Because God can use anybody. God seeks out the discarded, the flawed, the imperfect, the tired, the weary, the broken, the damaged, those who feel neglected and left behind, to bring restoration and new life to the lost, to give new life to them, and to use them for God's work. God has a plan and a future for every single person here. Don't ever think you're too anything, because God can use anybody. By His mercy, He wants to use you. Will you ask God today? Literally ask Him today, God, use me. Two-word prayer. Use me. Now, you got to be ready. You got to be willing. You got to say, I'm going to. God, use me. Do it. Let's pray together. God, we thank You that You are the kind of God who uses anybody, because that includes us. We have gifts and talents, but we're also flawed. We're not perfect. But that doesn't matter to You. God, You said You can use anybody. You used Paul. And I thank You that during this message today, we remembered and realized who Paul really was. And yet You used him to advance Your kingdom. The whole litany of names we looked at and read off, all those people were not perfect. They were flawed, sinners, selfish, and yet used each and every one of them to advance Your kingdom's work. God, help all of us to realize You really can use anybody, and You do use anyone who says, God, I am here, use me. Now, we went through different things. God, I don't know what level these folks are. All of us are at different levels. Things in here we're already doing, but maybe some other things we need to practice. So You can work through us. Now, God, Easter's coming up. I know You know that. But what a great time for you to stir among us and move us to serve in some way or another, to fill this church on Easter Sunday so people can hear and respond to the good news. God, I can't pray for these people, but I pray you'd move among all of us until we say, God, use me. Use me. In Jesus' name, amen.
I think we can all say that out loud together after we bow our heads. And then, amen, I guess that's four words. But Lord, use me. Amen. Okay, everybody ready? Let's bow our heads. Here we go. Lord, use me. Amen. Yeah.